All right, well, I love stories, in case you hadn't figured. And I want to just read a story from John at chapter 9. I'll read a bit of it and make some bits up along the side because it's fun. So John chapter 9. I love the Bible stories. In fact, I wish the whole Bible was one big story and some of the other bits and pieces were knocked out. I know some of you in all your degree, but I just really wish it was all like that. And John chapter 9 is just a great story about Jesus and disciples. They're wandering down the road and they bump into this blind person. They don't know who he is. He doesn't know who they are. He really is a random blind person, just happens to be on the side of the road, presumably begging for some money. And it goes like this. As he, that is Jesus, went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. Obviously, he must have pointed it out because his disciples said to him, Rabbi or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because they believed that sin and blindness and other issues were because of your sin, something you'd done wrong, and therefore God had punished you. Or perhaps it was your parents' or grandparents' sin. It was they'd done something wrong, and therefore God had like borne the punishment out onto their children. And Jesus very quickly said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was just a sinful world thing. There was nothing. It wasn't anybody's fault, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I.e., this, even though it's bad, is going to be used for God's glory and for something amazing. And I love that because actually that's an indication of everything that God can do with it. If something bad happens in your life, God can use it for his glory. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me, i.e. God. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he did something really, really weird, which is why I like the story. He started spitting onto the floor. Now, I was taught by my mother, who sits there, you shouldn't spit, it's bad. And Mum used to get cross at the footballers and rugby players. It used to spit and say, you shouldn't do that, that's bad. Well, my mum would be telling Jesus off at this point. Stop it, Jesus, it's naughty. So he was busy spitting, and then once he'd made a bit of a pool, he knelt down, leaned down, mixed it up with his fingers, and made some kind of muddy stuff. And then he picked it up in his hands. At which point all the girls went, that's horrid, and all this happened. Cool, weird, but cool. And it says, have you got it? Is it in your hand as well? And so he made some mud with his saliva and put it, and then he picked it up and he kind of went and put it into the man's eyes, just like you do. They can't see yet. I'm actually amazed the man let him. Because let's face it, if a stranger came up to you and said, can I put some... No, he couldn't see. Yeah, no, but he could feel. He'd know. He'd sense. No, just imagine. If somebody came up to you and said, is it okay if I put some of my saliva mud in anywhere in your body? What would you say? No, get lost. You're weird. You're really weird. And we kind of read this story and think, obviously he was a blind man, so he didn't mind. Why? He was a man, just like you and me. Sure, he couldn't see. But apart from that, he was quite normal, right? So Jesus put this in. And he allowed Jesus to do this. This Jesus, who he didn't know, because we find that later in the story, doesn't know. So he put the man's. Then he said, go and told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which was just outside Jerusalem. So the man went willingly and washed. And he came home seeing. Now, I presume that when he got there, he went, this is really weird. Knelt down, splash him kind of things. And as the mud was coming off, things started appearing in his sight. It must have been like, this is incredible. And I imagine splashing faster and faster and faster to get this, but until eventually he could see. And then he went home. So he went home seeing. And his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed he was, others claimed he wasn't. But he himself said, no, trust me, it was me. And I would know because it's me. And they said, how were your eyes opened? He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. Then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. And they said, where is this man? I don't know. And it was really big news around Jerusalem. And because it had happened on a Sunday, the Pharisees formed a council and called him in. Because doing miracles was officially classed as work on a Sunday, and so therefore Jesus had sinned because it worked, and they needed to find out because he wanted to build up evidence against Jesus so they could get rid of him. So they called him in, and we have a court scene where he comes in, he explains what's happened, they don't really believe him, and then the parents come in and they kind of dodge the issue, and then the Pharisees throw them all out, and then they get all pulled back in again. And they get asked the same questions again. And then this man says this amazing thing in verse 25. He said, because they're asking about Jesus. He said, I don't know whether Jesus is a sinner or not. I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. I love that. This man doesn't know much about Jesus, but what he knows is amazing. And I'm just thinking, I don't know everything about Jesus, but what I know is amazing. Anyway, all this happened, and he got thrown out of the court, actually out of the synagogue as well, because he said, well, this guy's amazing. And it says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out of the synagogue. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Do you believe in the Messiah? Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. It's me, says Jesus. And the man said, Lord, I believed. And he worshipped him. Salvation came into that man's life, which is the other big reason. It's a bit weird, which is why I like the story. But also, he doesn't just get healed. He gets saved, and his eternal destiny is changed forever. And I love that story. But it's one of many stories of Jesus healing. And today, what we want to do really is teach a little, hopefully inspire you a little, that God can heal in your life, and God can heal through you in other people's lives. And at the end of my message, which hopefully will be short, we're going to spend some time praying. And even right at the start of my message, if there's something in you that needs healing, it could be physical, it could be emotional, something that you know you'd love for God to take it away, then when we finish talking, and we invite people up to the front, we're going to do what it says in James 5. We're going to call the leaders, and we've got some oil, and we're going to anoint you and pray for you, believing in Jesus' name that you can be healed. And so if you need it, actually go, I'm going to be brave, I'm going to come to the front, and I'm going to get healed from the start. But before we do that, I just want to make a few comments using this passage as my base. The first one is this. Write this down in big, bold letters. God can heal everybody. God can heal everybody. You see, this story's in here, yes, because Jesus did something strange, but because this man was blind from birth. Blind from birth meant that there was something genetically wrong with his eyes. They didn't work. It wasn't that something had gone wrong that could get fixed. These eyes had never been right. And as far as we know and read, people just didn't get healed from this kind of blindness. But Jesus can. Because Jesus can do anything. And time again, we read in the scripture that Jesus was in places. Matthew 12, 15, it says that Jesus healed everybody who was following him. In Matthew 14, 36, we read that Jesus healed everybody who touched him. Jesus often just healed everybody because he can heal anybody. And he heals men and women and children. There seems to be no distinction. God can heal absolutely anybody. He is able and powerful. Luke 1, 37 says that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And this means that he can heal you. Honest, he really can. He really can heal you. As you pray and people pray for you, you can be healed. And similarly, you can pray for others and they can be healed. Some of you will have the gift of healing, and it'll come natural and easy for you to pray for people. And they will... Many people get healed through you, and perhaps today is the beginning of your journey of discovering that God has given you that gift. For the rest of us, we just have to believe God can do it, and God does it. I don't think I have the gift of healing in my life, but I've seen God heal people through me. My favorite story is many years ago. We were youth leaders at the time, and we had this bright teenager, this girl who loved sport and doing lots of amazing stuff. And we were ready for the weekend, and on Friday night, she tripped over and badly twisted her ankle. And within 15, 20 minutes, her ankle was beginning to swell and beginning to look bruised and sore. And it was like, yeah, you've kind of had it for the weekend. Because these things don't fix quickly. They take a while. It's like, we'll have to get some crutches for you tomorrow. And she was devastated. She was like, oh, no, but I'm so looking for the weekend. And we have all those activities planned for tomorrow and Sunday. It's going to be on. All I have to do, I have to sit in a chair, and it's going to be rubbish. And it wasn't me. She said, well, can you pray for me that God will do a miracle? And I was like, yeah, sure. Of course we'll pray. And so a few of us gathered around and we prayed and laid hands on ankle. And we prayed for 15, 20 minutes. And by the end of our prayer, it looked worse. It was a bit more swollen, a bit more bruised. It looked like, well, we prayed and we believed and yippee. And then we went to bed. And next morning, I was in the dining room, kind of towards this side. The door was over there. And I heard the door go crash. I looked up, and this girl ran across the dining room. She ran. She was running across. And she was kind of jumping and running as she was going. She was obviously so excited about something. I totally forgotten about the prayer, to be honest, yesterday. I just thought, oh, yeah, she's enthusiastic. And she ran across. She said, Ed, I'm healed. I'm healed. I went, oh, yes, we prayed for you yesterday. That's amazing. And it was amazing. And she enjoyed the rest. You see, I need to tell you a story because you need to hear in my voice the kind of uncertainty. But I still do it. Why? I believe God can. I believe God can, and God can as you just ask him to do this. And we're going to pray this morning believing that God can in life. The second thing is this. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. It took me a while to get this, I think, as a Christian. You know, John 10:10 says, I've come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. That includes healing us because that brings full life to us. We haven't got time to read all of Matthew 13, but Matthew 13 in verse 15, Jesus said, those who come, if only they would come, and then I can heal them. Then I can heal them. And all the way through the Bible, there's this sign that God wants us to live an abundant, blessed life. And that includes our health. Those who come, those who make themselves available, can be healed by God. You see, this guy in chapter 9, this blind guy, he could have run a mile. You're weird. You're putting mud on my face. Why are you doing that? But he stayed. He made himself available. And then God healed him. Those who made themselves available, God wants to heal. You might be saying, they're thinking, well, I don't know whether God will heal me. Well, I don't know either. But if you don't come and get prayed for, you definitely won't. You definitely won't. You have to make yourself available for God. I read those two things when God healed everybody. God healed everybody who followed him and everybody who touched him. Actually, it was those who actually made themselves available for it. God healed, because God, I believe, wants to heal you, because he wants to heal you and bless you. The third thing I want to say this is God heals people in different ways. God heals people in different ways. Obviously, this story, he used mud. In some cases, he touched people. In other cases, people touched him. Remember the woman who touched the hem of his garment and her bleeding stopped instantly? She touched him. He didn't even know that she was there. And yet he still healed her as she came in faith to him. For some people, they were healed instantly. Others, as in this story, they had to go and do something. Other people were healed as God spoke to them. Some were even healed when others came on their behalf, and then God said, because of your faith, I'm going to heal your friend or your relative who's actually many miles away. And Scripture says, at that very moment, they were healed. Actually, when that voice was spoken. God heals in different ways. And this means you might come and we might pray for you this morning and God does something instantly. And you go like, wow, that's great. I once prayed for somebody who had a really bad migraine. I said, God, heal them now. We had some stuff to do. Amen. And she went, it's gone. That's brilliant. And then we go on with life. And God, it was a bit like that. We just said, yeah, because we were busy, you know, I had stuff to do, quick prayer, let's get on with it and do it. And God heals instantly. But sometimes people need prayer and pray. You might get prayed this morning, then you have to come back tonight and get prayed again, and tonight it happens. Or you might come to this morning and tonight, and then, you know, we'll pray for anybody after every service. You might say, actually, for the next few weeks, I'm going to come every service I'm here. I'm going to get prayed for. I'm going to say, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. Until God hears your cry, the persistent prayer, and God heals you. For some of you, you'll be knelt here or stood here, and we'll be praying for you, and God will give you something to do. To go and wash at the pool of Siloam, or probably not that one, but something for you to do. And you'll be stood there, and you'll be going like, really? But that's ridiculous. What will that do? And as you go and do it, you'll get healed. As you are obedient to it, you'll get healed. And so I want to encourage you, if you send something when we're praying for you, then go do it. What's the worst that can happen? You know, Naaman was told to go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And he went, no, there's lots better of rivers in my part of the world. Why should I do that? And the servant said, because the man of God has asked you to. He did it. He got healed from leprosy. And you see, sometimes God says, go do this. And then as you're doing it, you get healed. There's no kind of, this. If you do this, isn't this, then this will happen. It doesn't work like that. God heals in his own way. Fourth thing I want to say this, is God is more interested in your salvation and your maturity, becoming who he made you to be, than he is in keeping you healthy. He just is. See, I love this. It's one of the, again, why I love this story is this guy doesn't get healed, he gets saved as well. And there's so many stories in the Bible where people get healed, but they don't get saved. They don't get saved. I mean, there's a ridiculous story in Luke chapter 17. I'll just read it for you because it's not very long. It says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was traveling on the border between Samaria and Galilee. So in Luke 17, verse 11. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They knew who he was. They knew what he could do. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, as they were obedient, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He got salvation as well as healing. The Bible said he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew, one of Jesus' own tribe. And Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? All 10 got a miracle. Only 1 got saved. And you see, actually, God is more interested in salvation rather than healing. I think sometimes as Christians, we think if only God would do stuff miraculous, more people get saved. It's not true. I wish it was true. I really do. But I have known many people that God has done miracles in, and they've walked away from him. Actually, it's saving. People need saving for all eternity, not just... People need miracles, absolutely, and signs and wonders should follow as Christians travel the world, but they don't link up. Healing doesn't mean automatic salvation. In fact, Jesus did 1 out of 10. And if Jesus was 1 out of 10, yeah, there you go. Because God is more interested in our salvation. Healing is temporary. Salvation is permanent. I love that phrase. Healing is temporary. Salvation is permanent. You could get healed today, but you'll probably get sick again someday. If you get saved today, you'll be saved for all eternity. And I know which one God's more interested in your life. And can I just say that God never brings sickness into your life. He says, the disciples ask him, who caused this sickness? And Jesus says, nobody caused this sickness. It just is. And sickness is caused because of our fallen world. Now, God might use it for his glory, which is what it says in this passage. Jesus said, this man is sick so that my glory may be shown, so that God may show off, basically, to the world. This is what miracles and healing are. It's God showing off to the world so people can see him. No, it's true. Or he might do it for our growth. And for those of you who know your Bibles, well, we'll know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the fact that God sometimes allows sickness to help people understand the sin in their life. And Hebrews 12 says that God sometimes allows hardship and persecution, sickness, so that we may become disciplined and more like the people that we're supposed to be. And God sometimes does that, because God is more interested in our salvation and our maturity than keeping us fully fit. Which is annoying. Yeah? Who'd like God to be more interested in keeping us fit and healthy all the time and let us leave the rest? Hey, anybody? Any feel like that? I've had bad flu this week. Trust me, I'm in that category. I did what I was supposed to do. I said, God, is there anything you want to teach me? No, I'm just not feeling very well. Anyway, there we go. So, but God's more interested. The final thing I want to say is the obvious. It's that God doesn't heal everybody. He will do ultimately. When we get to heaven, we get new bodies, but in this, he doesn't heal everybody. And we don't know why. And Dave's going to bring another message on healing tonight, but we're just talking about this morning because I felt we needed to. People need to hear that God doesn't heal. I wish he did heal everybody. But I don't think there's a good explanation why he doesn't heal everybody. We know that sometimes that God doesn't heal because of lack of faith in the people he's praying for. If you're reading, well, I'll just read, because not even Jesus healed everybody. Sometimes people think he did, but he didn't. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 records this. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get all these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? That he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters still here with us? And they took offense of him because he was too good. Jesus said this. Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So not even Jesus can heal. Well, I think he could have overridden, but he didn't because of the lack of faith. And sometimes healing happens because people you're praying for just don't believe it's ever possible. And it doesn't happen. And that's real sad. It's real sad. The Bible records instances when the disciples did believe and pray for people and it didn't happen and they didn't have enough faith. To be honest, I don't know quite what to do with that one. Apart from we just need to have as much faith as we can and keep on praying and let God to do the rest. Sometimes God doesn't heal us because it's his will and purpose, either for our individual life, for our corporate life as a family of his people, or even for the future work of his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, missionary Apostle Paul, who wrote loads of the New Testament, who saved hundreds, maybe thousands, tens of thousands of people due to his ministry. The incredible Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So Paul's just been talking about his visions and all the things that God has done in his life. He says this, to keep me from becoming conceited. So I'm in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. God's shown me so much and I'm so amazing. I love Paul. He's so modest and he's like, I'm brilliant, says Paul. I was like, wow. I'm so cool. God had to do this for me. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't have no idea what that is, by the way. It could be an illness. It could be something else. We don't know. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. He prayed. He believed. He had faith. Paul had done amazing miracles. He'd seen amazing healing. This was a man of faith. He knew God would heal. He had no doubt in his heart or his mind. This was a man full of faith, full of belief, full of knowledge. And he prayed three times. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God said, tough. You need to be kept a little bit weak so that you can do all that I have for you on this earth to take the kingdom forward. And what did Paul say? That's not fair. I hate being ill. That'd be me. It stinks. I don't like it. Take it away, God. Can I have a fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth or ninth or tenth or 15th prayer? Because this is horrid. What does Paul say? This is why Paul was who he was. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. So when I'm weak, then I am strong. Then I can do what God wants me to do. And sometimes God doesn't heal for that reason. Now, it's a horrible reason. It's not. It's a great reason. Doesn't feel nice, but it's a great reason why God doesn't do it. God doesn't heal everybody. And can I say again, we don't know why. And I want to give you a permission, after I've said those things, if anybody ever comes to you and say, well, you're not being healed and it's your own faith because you haven't got, it's your own fault because you haven't got enough faith, can you just, if you just turn them around and line them up and then just kick them very hard in the rear end? Yeah, because it's not their job to do that. Now, it is your job to go and ask God, is there a reason why I'm ill and can you heal me? Yes, and there might be a reason. You might have done something you need to repent of, but that's your issue before God. And if you want to make it somebody else's issue, you go and ask them. If somebody, even if I come and say, I think it's because you have my permission to turn me around and tell me to get lost as well. Because I don't think it's our job to do that for each other. It is our job to ask God. Absolutely. And perhaps a trusted friend or two, do you think I'm ill for a reason? That's a good question to ask. Because I don't know about you, I'd rather be unill as fast as possible. But it's not our job to tell each other it's our fault why we're not feeling well.